Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me. How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. All right, let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Fathers, we open your word. I'm asking the Holy Spirit to come forward to open our hearts and minds so that we can receive this word, Father, and keep it in our hearts and in our minds so that we can use it, Father, to help others and ourselves along the highway of righteousness. Now be with us, Father, throughout this study, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Now we're going to be in Romans 2nd chapter. Verse 1 says, "Thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest does the same things. 2. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. 3. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God?" You know, there in verse 1, where he's talking about the judges, Paul now is turning his attention really to the self-righteous moralist. And that's what he's looking at here. And then the Jewish tradition taught that Abraham sat at the gate of hell to prevent any Jew from entering. They were not ignorant of God, but of God's design to bring them to repentance. Now, you see, a lot of people wonder why Jesus took his hand off of Israel. He hasn't forsaken them, and he hasn't forgotten. They are his people. But they turn against him, for the most part. And still, even yet today, most of them are still trying to go by the Mosaic law. But Jesus hasn't turned his back on them. But he shook his hand off of them until they learn that they need to turn to him. And if they will come out from hiding behind the law and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and their Messiah, they'll find that he's right there with them. He hasn't forgotten them, nor is he ever going to. We are told in his word that there is a day coming to where all Israel will be saved. Now, verse 4. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? You see, this repentance has got to come for you and I to become a child of God and to be saved. And it has to be done in sincerity and truth. Because unless it's done that way, it's not going to get you anything. Because you go right back to the old ways. Now, 5. But after thy hardness and impenitence art, treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. You see, those that are walking in evil and in darkness, that day comes. They are going to be looking to God and his judgment. Because that's what they're going to get. And they're not going to like it. That's for sure. But then it's too late. Now, 6. Who will render to every man according to his deeds? Your deeds. What have you done? And what are you doing for the Lord, if anything? You're going to answer for what you do through the day, every day. If it will be your deeds aimed at things of God, or if they are aimed at the things of this world, and part of them are evil, to them who by continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. Now, you see, that's what you and I are to be seeking for and working for. And the only way we can have them and obtain them is through giving our lives completely and totally unto the Lord God, and doing everything we do as if we are doing it to Him, even things that we are doing for others. We do those things for others as we would do for Him. You see what I'm talking about? Because you and I, we are not judges. We are servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are to be sharing the gospel, the word of Almighty God, with all that we can come in contact with, and doing everything we can do for those that are in need of the Lord Jesus Christ, or that is in need of physical help, to do everything we can for them. And most of all, is always holding them in prayer. What kind of prayer life have we got? Are you really spending time talking to the Lord and doing it from the heart? Not just from the mind, but from the heart. Letting Him know truly how you feel and the questions you have. Ask of Him. Now, He may lead you to someone to get the answer, and He may give you the answer Himself. He may send you someplace in the Bible to get it. He works in all kinds of different ways. We can't limit God. There is no limit to put on Him. Now, 8. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath. You see, those that are walking in darkness and not walking in obedience unto the word of God, that's what they've got coming. Indignation and wrath. The wrath of Almighty God. That's something we don't really want. We may ignore it and think, well, it don't make any difference. But once it comes upon you, you're going to find out you don't want it. Now, 9, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first, and also of the Gentiles. You see what he's telling you here? Paul's telling us that tribulation and anguish will come upon every soul of man that doeth evil, whether they be Jew or Gentile. Because you see, we now become actually one. Now, you know, and right now, the Gentile people that are the children of God, we really need to be working and helping Israel right now. They have been under attack. They're having a lot of destruction, a lot of killing, and a lot of hurt and they need our help. And we are told to stand with them. In fact, those that don't stand with them, God said, will be cursed. And those that will stand with Israel will be blessed. Now, while I've said that, I will tell you this. We are going to be sending $100 to them, to an outfit that is sending millions to them right now that they've collected and gathered together. And they have bought two more ambulances, are actually equipped as an emergency room in a hospital. And they had bought several before this, but they're buying two more now because they are that greatly needed. And those that all of this destruction and all that's coming are being left out without a home and without any food and stuff that way. And our help is greatly needed. I wanted all of you to know that we are going to be helping them. Now, 10, but glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. You see, we are included. 11, for there is no respect of persons with God. It does not matter whether we are Jew or Gentile. We can go to the Lord, repent, be saved, and begin our work, our study, and our walk in His Word. And He will be right there with us. Now, and it doesn't matter whether we're Jew or Gentile. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. Those that are trying to hide behind the law, that are still sinning and all because they have not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, they're going to be judged by that law they're hiding behind. And you and I, we are not being judged by the law. We will be judged by Almighty God and the Lord Jesus Christ. We will stand one day before the Lord. Now, 13. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. And they have not been keeping the law. That's why Christ came. And that's why we pray for Israel to come out from the law and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and as their Messiah. Because you see, they've never accepted Him. Those that are still going by the law. Now, for when the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves. In other words, you're without anything. because you're setting things for yourself. Pride and your selfishness has caused you to be that way. 15. Which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing or else excusing one another. But you see, in all of this, we're leaving out whether you are going by the law or you become a law unto yourself. It's all leaving the Lord Jesus Christ out of it. And the only way that we can get to heaven in this time period since the day of Pentecost is through the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other way. And we're told that. Now, 16. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Paul's letting you know that you will be judged by the Lord Jesus according to this gospel. Because you see, he's only given us what has been given to him by the Holy Spirit to record and to write this letter to the church. You see, this is another thing, and the reason that I keep telling everybody, don't be jumping around too much trying to make things to your understanding. Because these books are letters that was written to the church telling them what to do in order for them to be saved and to be able to make heaven their home. And they didn't have all these other books at the time, so they couldn't do all this jumping around. We need to get the meaning from these books, because they're not going to contradict each other. They may speak in a different way, but they're not going to contradict each other. The agreement is going to be the same. 17. Behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God. 18. And knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law. Now you know, actually, five phrases expresses the Jews' five God-given privileges. And he's speaking here of restless in the law. And the Jews have the object revelation of God's law, whereas the Gentiles had only the variable law of conscience. And he talks about making the boast of God. God was revealed as the God of Israel, and Israel was the only nation to have unique relationship with the only God of the universe. Then he talks about, knowest his will and approveth the things that are more excellent. And they gave approval to the things that were in keeping with the character of God because they were instructed of the law. And the law was their teacher and taught them God's specific will. But you see, they didn't keep the Mosaic law. Now, but now we are under grace. That is what God's church is under today. We are under grace. Now, that's why we have to study His Word and learn how to walk. And art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness. Are you a guide to those? Or are you one of them? You see, we have a lot of them out there teaching today that they are walking in blindness because they're walking contrary to the Word of God, and they're teaching others the same thing. Now, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which has the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. Thou therefore, which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? In other words, what you are preaching, you better be living. And it better be the truth of God's word. 22. Thou that saith a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? You know, there are just a lot of things that really don't stop and think about. Now, 23. Thou that makest thy boast of the law, though breaking the law, dishonoreth thy God. You are proclaiming something and you're breaking that. You are dishonoring God. 24. For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles to you, as it is written. We know the Gentiles, Paul was writing this letter, were doing most all these things because they were all idol worshippers and knew nothing about the Lord God. Now, 25. For circumcision verily profit, if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. In other words, it's no good unless you keep the law. It's doing you no good. Now, in this day and time which we live, most of our male children are circumcised. But it's not done because of religion. It's done for cleanliness. And those of you that are adults, and you understand what I'm talking about if you have male children. Okay, now, but you see, there is a circumcision that you and I must have also, and that's men and women. That is the circumcision of the heart. In other words, that old man of sin and Satan has been cut out of the heart, and you have become a born-again child of the living God. Now, Verse 26. Therefore, if the uncircumcised keepeth the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? And you see, it would be. But, as I said, we're not under law. We're under grace and the word of God. 27. And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it be fulfilled, the law judge thee, who by the letter and circumcision does transgress the law? 28. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart. Remember me just telling you about that? Being circumcised in the heart? Well, there it is. And in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. You see, we're not to be looking for the praise of mankind out here. We're to be looking for the praise of Almighty God. Now, these things that we learn can work miracles for us, or they can work against us, depending on what we accept, what we believe, and what we will use. Now, and we need to be doing the things the Word tells us to do, and we need to not be doing the things it tells us don't do. But that's not what's going on right now. And there are so many out here that are going against the Word of God. And yet they believe they are right in doing it. Because you see, they don't have the Holy Spirit guiding them. They've got evil guiding them. We have many, many pastors out here today that are living in adultery. I know one that's not too far from me that's living that way. And we have a lot of people sitting in our churches that are living in fornication. And they believe they're all right because it's not looked down on anymore. There was a time right here in our own land when an act of fornication was committed. They were both shunned. And people that knew them and knew about it would really have nothing to do with them. But today it's an accepted practice, and they want everybody to know it. You see, fornication is that sexual act between two single people. And those that move in together without being married. Well, why would that be so much different and so bad? They're living together just like anybody else. Are they? They're not, because they were told not to do it. So you see, that's not workable. But yet they believe, because they've been told, that it's all right. And they broadcast it. They want all their friends to know, and all their families, and everybody that they contact to know that they have moved in together and they're not married. You know, marriage is a covenant, and it's not between just two people. That's something else that's not being taught today. That is between three. The man, the woman, and Almighty God. The three have made that covenant because their vows are taken by the promises of Almighty God. When it's done, done right. Now, but you see, so many today just don't think about it at all. And then marriage between two men or two women? No. According to God's word, that is an abomination unto him. Look it up. Homosexuality is an abomination unto the Lord God. And we have got many, many churches out there today accepting that as just an alternate lifestyle. And nothing wrong with it. So much. Now, verse 28, for he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. 29, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, and that's what we need to really remember and stand firm on and in. And we have come to the end of chapter 2. We're not going to be going into chapter 3. Chapter 3 is another one that is up in the 30s of verses. I think 31, 32, somewhere around there. Let me check and see here. 31. It's going to be covering a lot of things also that we really need. And we need to take into our hearts so we can remember. Now pray to God that everyone that's listening this morning has gotten something out of this study, and that they will walk with God and not with the things of man, unless those things are of God also. All right. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, we thank you, Father, for your word, and we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And Father, I thank you for these times that we can come together in the study of your word to share with each other, that we can help someone, Father, to come out of darkness and into light, that light being the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, your saints, wherever they are in the world, and we know, Father, that they are scattered and that they are those that are walking, teaching that if caught will mean imprisonment and even death. We ask the Holy Spirit to keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. Father, Israel, Jerusalem, we know, Father, a lot that's going on there. We know that there's not peace there right now. But we're praying for peace for them, Father. But we're praying for them all to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and as their Messiah, so that that land can be healed and one day be called a land for Jesus. And this land of ours, Father, that has become so evil, we know, Father, that it had no excuse whatsoever. But the evil that we have in our leadership and our government has brought this evil upon its people, getting them to accept all of this evil as being something that is not evil, that's good. They've been calling evil good and good evil. Father, help us to replace them and to place them with ones that belong to you, that love you, that love the Lord Jesus Christ, loves the church, loves your people, and love this country, that will work with us to help us to bring this land to repentance and put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, as we prepare to separate, I pray for those that is with this ministry that you've put here, Father, that they stay with us and that they work bringing others in to hear thy word and the truth of thy word, so that they will not walk in darkness and can walk in the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be forgiven and fulfill that plan of salvation as it is to be, so that they too, Father, can walk upon the pathway of righteousness to make heaven their home and to live in and by your word. Now, Father, be with us all. Keep us in health. Keep us safe throughout this day. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Thank you. And I pray for you to walk with God through this day, and he'll walk with you. Have a great, great day. Bye-bye now.